coming to Long Beach for many, many years in person as our scholar in residence during the summer. He told me that he loves coming to Long Beach, and it's unfortunate that he can't join us in person. Again, we all know Rabbi Simon, and I discussed with him that we can forego the long introduction, and just we'll say it's our honor to have him giving us this virtual lecture as our scholar in residence. There's one lecture this evening. Next Monday night, Mirz Hashem, there will be a second lecture. And you all receive the email so you know the topic. I don't want to take any more of Rabbi Simon's time. Rabbi Baruch Simon.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Diamond. Zecher Nishmas, Avi Mor, Yaakov, Bin Sol Pichas, Zecher Nishmas, Daniel Shena, Hasi Yeshua Falak. Thank you so much, Dr. Diamond, for inviting me. Thank you all individuals who are here this evening to share the Divrei Torah that we're going to present this evening. I think it would be more than appropriate to mention, you know, the Zecher Nishmas also of the beloved Morada Asra, Rabbi Waxlach, of the Young Israel of Long Beach, and who was a very special person who I got to know over the years, and I'm sure it was a shock to all of us of his untimely patira. And I think any event that takes place through the prism of the Young Israel of Long Beach should always have that in mind, of the blessed memory of the beloved Morada Asra of Rabbi Long Beach, of Long Beach, Rabbi Waxlach. The Kadosh Baruch Hu should give his Rebbetzin and the whole family a lot of chizuk and all besoros tovos in the future. And b'shus the acting rabbi, Rabbi Yaakov Weisenberg. Okay. What we're going to talk about this evening is certain historic aspects of pandemics that happened in the world, specifically in the early 1800s, and how the great gedolim of the time, namely, we're talking about Rabbi Akiva Eiger, we're talking about the Chasam Sofer, we're talking about Rav Yisrael Salanter, and how these giants dealt with these pandemics and what emerged from them. And it's a fascinating discussion. The three packets that were given on the line, packet Chavtes, Lamed, and Lamed Aleph. So if you'd like to look along in these things, one could do so. Unfortunately, also, this has been a time of the patira of my own father, Mr. Jacob Simon, Yaakov Ben Yisrael Pinchas, and a lot of the things dealing with the pandemic, having to sit Shiva during that time, with where the Beis Avel wasn't the normal Beis Avel in terms of people coming. We didn't have Minyanim at that point in the Beis Avel. And it was a very atypical situation of a Beis Avel. And it's interesting that one of the great discussions of Rabbi Akiva Eiger is the following. Is we know the halacha in Hilchas Kaddish in, it's here on the packet Chavtes, if you want to look on the first page, where there's a whole discussion of Kedima B'Kaddish, whereas who takes precedence when there are multiple people that have to say Kaddish? And is it the Shloshim? Is it the Yortzeit? And there's a whole long Magen Avraham that discusses that on the first page here. Now, the assumption, clearly, from this Magen Avraham, what do you mean, who takes precedence? Why doesn't everyone just say it in unison? So it's clear, and as Rav Schacht always points out, it's clear that the old minhag was that only one person would say Kaddish at a time. In other words, what we see today in shuls, that people say, 5-6 people say Kaddish in unison, was not the halacha that existed in the time of the Shulchan Aruch and the Poskim. It was one person said Kaddish at a time. It wasn't this thing of 5, 6, 7 people saying Kaddish at once. And it's obvious, because if it would be, then there wouldn't need to be a discussion of who gets preference, you know, of in terms of a Kaddish. And that's a whole long Magen Avraham here about, he says, where the arrow is in the bracket of Magen Avraham, he says, Hagon milavush kasav dine Kaddish. He gave us the laws of Kaddish and all the halachas of who takes preference in when there are multiple people. So where did this come from? Where did this come from that we have many people saying Kaddish at the same time? And it's interesting that the poskim attributed to Rabbi Akiva Eiger. Rabbi Akiva Eiger was one of the great scholars of his time. And he discusses what happened in the time of the pandemic, of the cholera pandemic of that time. And Rabbi Akiva Eiger writes that, and we'll see, he's quoted in various. Yeah, take a look on page, if you have the first packet, packet 29, on page 6, it says, he says like this, the line that begins, Manus, Kalkon, Kosovli, Vzeloshan, Agon, Rabbi Kivyegir, Be'ez Choli Ra, Shehayu Shom Yisomim Harbe, Achel Agiyah Le'yosom Kaddish Echad B'sol Chodesh, Hiskim Shemeshach Shona Ahi, Velo Yoser, that there were so many deaths in the cholera epidemic in the early 1800s that if we would just have one person saying Kaddish each time, there would be certain orphans that wouldn't even get to say Kaddish once a month. Would not even get to say Kaddish once a month. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger said, based on that, for that year, I'm instituting that after Aleinu, everyone, there's many people there, should say Kaddish in unison. Because there were too many people that passed away from that pandemic in the time of Rabbi Akiva Eiger, and therefore, he said that for that year, he was going to allow multiple people, which was against the tradition. It was against the tradition. The tradition was only one at a time. And that's why there was a whole discussion in the Magen Avraham whether you could say Kaddish, you know, who gets the preference. Because it was clear, only one at a time. Because of the pandemic, Rabbi Akiva Eiger instituted this thing. And it's interesting, there's an article here by Ellie Fisher from Hebrew books. Ravin Tanu Kalariyaj, if you take a look in the first packet here on page 29, on page 25 in the bottom, it says, around the same time, Rabbi Eger issued a ruling that would change Ashkenazi synagogue practice forever. The pandemic produced so many mourners that the long-standing custom of rotating the recitation of Kaddish would have left each mourner with few opportunities to recite the prayer for his deceased parents. So for that year, Rabbi Akiva Eger allowed multiple mourners to recite Kaddish simultaneously. That one-time exception has become the norm. And that's the... So it's a fascinating thing how it took on, a life of its own. But it's interesting that Rav Yaakov Emden was the son of the Chacham Tzvi. And on page 12 is the Sharblad of the Siddur of Rav Yaakov Emden. And Rav Yaakov Emden says on page 13, where the third arrow on page 13 in packet Chavtes, the third arrow, he says, Mato v'yosher min ha-kasfardim zeh. Shim rabim heima kulam zochim bo, v'omim osoke echad. Apparently, the Sephardic tradition always had multiple people saying Kaddish. It was only in the Ashkenazic tradition that it was only one person at a time. But the Sephardic tradition, they always had it, and Rabbi Yaakov Emden praises the Sephardic tradition. He says, Matov v'yosher minhag ha-Sephardim. How great is the minhag ha-Sephardim? Shim rabim heima kulam zochim bo, v'om usoke echad, u'bodla machlokas. And this way you don't have any machlokas, because you imagine if there was only one, each Kaddish throughout the davening was only said by one person. The Kaddish before, after Aleinu, the Kaddish after the Shir Shal Yom, you know, was only said by one person. So he said that how great it is that the Sephardim just have everyone saying it in unison. And in other words, the Ashkenazim only started that because of the pandemic of the time. But the... But apparently, the Sephardim had this tradition, much, much before. And that was the, what Rabbi Akiva Eger is, basically changed the whole, as Eli Fisher writes, changed the whole practice of Ashkenazic synagogue practice of saying the Kaddish together. Now, it's interesting, on page 21 in this packet, in the Geras Sofrim, he talks about the cholera epidemic of his time, and he discusses how he dealt with it. Again, obviously, every pandemic of, we can't necessarily compare we don't know exactly what the situation was exactly at that time that he was writing it. So you can't just say, oh, Rabbi Akiva wrote it, and therefore that's the way we should do, because you have to know the reality of what exactly existed at each individual time. But just to get a sense, on page 21, in the Geras HaSofrim, he says, Michtovo higiyanu b'inyan tefilas beis ha-knesset l'dayti ze emes sha-kibitz b'mokom tzar einu nochon. In other words, to have a lot of people in a narrow space is not proper. So he says you should have many different groups, 15 people in a group. And he says, in other words, have rotation, 15, and then have another minion with 15, etc. And that's, how he spoke about it. And in fact, it's so interesting. If you look now in the next packet, the packet Lamed, the first page is Psokim v'Takonos. And it's fascinating how he... And specifically, again, we're not here to make exact comparisons of what to do in our situation today, and that has to be dealt with. But he discusses how we should deal with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. How should we deal with, that's what a lot of people are thinking about now. How are we going to deal with Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur? And he's on page 2 in packet Lamed, he says, Kloli is Nagus Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur Shnas Tovkuf Tzadi Beis. L'kol Adas Yishun Po Pozna. So this was the 1800s when they had these pandemics, and he was discussing what should we do. So he writes here on page 3, on the second arrow, on page 3, he says, "Kedei she'tusag ha'matora she'mikol shnei mikomos yeshiva batek nesios yishor ha'echad chofshi." Whereas every other seat should be vacant. You have one person, then a vacant seat. And one person, and a vacant seat. But, so that means that half the people, apparently, the shul then was packed. So that means that if you only allow every other person seat, that means half the shul would be vacant. So what should we do? So this was the suggestion. He says we should draw a lot. And this is the lot. You had even numbers or odd numbers. So if you had an even number, that means you had a right to a seat on Rosh Hashanah. If you had an odd number, rather. If you had an even number, you had a right to a seat on Yom Kippur. So half the people would be in shul for Rosh Hashanah, and the other half would be in shul for Yom Kippur. To tell you the truth, if it would be me, I would take Rosh Hashanah over Yom Kippur. That would be my shita. I always say the two most important times in the year to be in shul, I'm not saying that not every day is important and there are many things, but to me, the two most important times to be in shul is Rosh Hashanah and Purim. Because Rosh Hashanah, the shofar, not everyone is capable to blow the shofar, and especially you want to have the shofar in the middle of Chazaras Hashatz, you can't do that at home. You can't do that at home. And Purim, okay, if you know how to read the Megillah, you know how to read, but if you don't know how to read, so you come to shul and you... So to me, I would be happy if I would win the lot to be in shul for Rosh Hashanah. Not that I don't want to be in shul for Yom Kippur, but if it had to be that way that Rabbi Akiva Eiger was doing it to take a lot, because the way he was deciding it for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that you take a lot and either you win for Rosh Hashanah or you win for Yom Kippur, and it's interesting that. He writes another interesting thing on page 4. He says, on arrow 3, Rosh Hashanah timashachna hatfilos min yigdal aracher kol atkiyas shachtfilos musuf chamei shos vuvat. He says, davening should take 5 hours. He says, they should open the shul at 5 o'clock and at 5:30, you should start Yigdal, and 10:30, everything should be over. And he says, and all the kibudim, you should sell the night before. And anyone who gets an aliyah, only should make one misha berach. So it's just an interesting... way of how he, and he says, "Balet feels lo yerichu klal klal benigudim v'chazonus." Now, Yomer said, "Feels mil v'mil, not too many nigunim, not too chazonus." Again, I'm not saying this is the way that you have to operate, but it's just fascinating to see what Rabbi Akiva Eiger did, and then the old question of making kid, in yeshivas. I remember when I was in Keren B'Yavne, so they started davening, 6:30 in the morning on Rosh Hashanah or something like that, and they go to like 3-4 o'clock, so that's why yeshivas, they have a minhag that before shofar you take a break and you make Kiddush. See, Rav Henkin was very opposed to this. Rav Henkin didn't like making Kiddush before, because there's a whole question about eating before a shofar. So Rav Henkin was a staunch opponent. You know, supposedly Rav Harfenis has in a sefer that at Rav Henkin's Levaya, they made an announcement that anyone who made Kiddush before shofar shouldn't touch the arm. He felt so strongly. So what was his opinion? So his opinion was the best thing is to make Kiddush after shofar, meaning to be mafsik between after the 30 kolos, when we were so makbid not to talk. And then he says, then you should go home and make Kiddush. Then you should make Kiddush. He thinks it's better not to violate the issue of eating before shofar blowing than being mafsik. It's better to be mafsik between the tekiyas demiyushav and the tekiyas demu'umad. So Rabbi Kivega writes on page 5, on Yud Beis, Os Yud Beis, Hagon Av Bezdin, Modin, Shekol Misha Magish, Chol Shokala B'yosu, Mechuyiv, Tekev Achat Tfil Shofar, Lelechaz Lebeiso. Anyone who feels faintly ill, he should go home after Shofar, and he should make Kiddush. Afshar Hu Hefsek Ben, and this is, so this is already Rabbi Kivega, so what Rav Henkin, this is liked, was already said in Rabbi Akiva Eger about the time of the pandemic. He says, because really, Kiddush B'Mokom Suda, so, and then the question is, you know, Suda is what's called a Suda, so he thinks the better way is to hear the 30 kolos, then go home or go to the Kiddush room or something like that, make Kiddush, eat a little bit, then come back. And that was, but Lemaisa in the yeshivas, that's not the minute. See, in most shuls, the davening isn't as long, so people could deal with it. But in yeshivas, the davening goes on forever. So what do you want? The person's starting davening 6:30 in the morning and he's end 3 o'clock. 3:30 in the afternoon, and he's not going to have anything. You know, he can, you know. So that was what Rabbi Akiva Eger suggested. Now let me show you something from the Chasam Sofer. First of all, the Chasam Sofer, in the Drashos Chasam Sofer, when he talks about these pandemics of his time, and he discusses, first of all, that people who got better should make a Birkas HaGomel. Right? That was one thing that he discussed. But it's fascinating that he has a discussion here on page 13. He says, Achar kol zos noda Hashem Elokeinu al hachesed gadol. Page 13 on packet Lamed. He says, we have to thank Hashem for the big chesed. Shehifli aldas hapela ala talmidim b'nei yeshiva. So Chasam Sofer had a yeshiva, and the talmidim, the b'nei yeshiva, shelo poga b'shum echad mehem shum choli. He says no one got sick. He says so. In addition to the talmidim themselves, that have to praise Hashem that they didn't get sick. But the Balabatim should be thankful as well. So he explains. He says, we've had the yeshiva in the community 26 years already. 26 years we've been supporting this yeshiva. Hundreds of boys are here. But he says it's not always so easy. He says, page 13 on the top left. Sometimes it's not so easy. And some people in the community are resentful that we have this yeshiva. He says, You see, Chasam Sofer says, if the yeshiva boys would have gotten sick, then he's choshesh that maybe the balabatim would become to resent the yeshiva. So he says, what do we need this here? They're just causing problems. And then they'll be upset that they're supporting the yeshiva, and that way of speech and that resentment could cause a tremendous kitrug on the balabatim. Because if the balabatim are starting to speak in the negative jargon regarding the yeshiva and regarding their supporting the yeshiva, and that may have come about if the pandemic would have hurt the yeshiva, because people would say, you know, what do we need it for? What do we have to support it? It's just causing it. So Hashem said that would have been a tremendous negativity that Hashem would have viewed the balabatim in that light. And he doesn't think if it would have happened that the balabatim would have stood the nisayon to not speak disparagingly against the yeshiva and against their support. So Hashem saw to it that the yeshiva boys didn't get hurt. And that's what the Chasam Sofer writes in his drasha. Because he says it's very easy for the people, the balabatim of the community, to speak disparagingly about their support of the yeshiva. So that's a fascinating thing. Oh. So what did we discuss so far? We discussed Rabbi Akiva Eiger, how Rabbi Akiva Eiger started the new minhag of multiple kadeshim. We discussed Rabbi Akiva Eiger's lottery for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. Half the people come to Shul Rosh Hashanah and the other half Yom Kippur. We discussed Rabbi Akiva Eiger's idea, which was then adopted by Rav Henkin, not to make Kiddush before Tekiyah Shofar, but to make Kiddush between the Tekiyah Demiusha of the Tekiyah Me'umad. And now we discuss the Chasam Sofer's theory, I should say, of why the yeshiva boys in that town were saved by the pandemic, because it could be the balabatim would have spoken disparagingly, and that would have caused HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be very upset with the balabatim, and that would have caused a kitrug. The next thing that I want to show you is the famous story, and it's a fascinating story about Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. On page 25, the Sefer Makor Baruch is by the Torah Tamima, by Baruch Halevi Epstein. So if you look on page 25 here, on Packet Lamed, page 25. Says this, the last paragraph, Va'oz Allah Habamosa. Does Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went up to the Bima, the base Knesset HaGadol, the Vilna, in the big shul in Vilna, Yom Kippur. Again, this was taking place on Yom Kippur during the pandemic, the cholera pandemic in his time. Lachar Tfila Shachris, after Shachris, Hagon Hanoda Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, Vito, Imo Shnei Mori Hara, and two other Chashev Rabbanim went up onto the Bima. So the three of them were on the Bima. And says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, B'shem Hashem u'mirshus Torasenu Hakdosha, in the name of Hashem and in the honor of the Torah Hakdosha. Asher Edna Atara L'chol Mitzvaseh Mitzvah Achaz Yisodis. The Torah gives us one very important mitzvah, and that is V'chai Bohem, V'lo She'omos Bohem, the mitzvah of B'chai Bohem. Anu Matirim, you know, like he used Lashon, like Anu Matirim L'spala Lim Harvayonim, is Anu Matirim Shelo L'sanos Hayom. Because the three Rabbanim publicly made a proclamation on Yom Kippur after Shacharis that we will not be fasting today. So you know what he did, Rabbi Kiviger? Not Rabbi Kiviger, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. He says, L'man tekuba, and to show that he meant business, he took a cup of wine and he made Kiddush. Laka kosiyayim, yikadosh olav, v'yesh mimenu. He drank from it. Hu umore hara ha'umdim olav v'yine kolakol. And he drank from the wine, and the other two rabbis accompanied him. They gam tamu mine mesika, masa ofen. Then they had some cake, sweet cake. Vehi beis Hashem, and you can imagine, pandemonium broke out. The shock that took place in the shul. Vehi beis Hashem lecharada, ish lo diber dover. They were speechless. Lo heim rosh kol echad nafsho avela alav u'mistar mishpach mos rosochus. And the people were just in total shock. Total shock. And it's interesting. On page 28 is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky's sefer. The second paragraph here, where the arrow is, keep going a little bit down. The paragraph begins, Siper li hagon Rav David Leibowitz. Rav David Leibowitz is the father of Rav Henoch Leibowitz, who was the Rosh Hashiva of Chofetz Chaim. Shashoma hu sipur zeh mibala Chofetz Chaim. He said he heard the following story from the Chofetz Chaim himself. Shebeshoa shehitir hagon Rav Yisrael Salanta. The Tom Ba'atzma b'yom kippur v'vilna. That year, when Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, in the middle of davening, after Shacharis, made Kiddush on Yom Kippur, and drank from the wine, and then had some cake afterwards, his minu lebezdin, the Kal Kodesh Vilna. He was summoned by the Bezdin of Vilna. V'donusham eza onesh yanishu. He said, and they were discussing that it was not proper for what he did. And they were discussing what fine and what consequences should Rabbi Yisrael Salanta have. Al shahora b'farhesi arakazu v'lo nimlach b'bezdin. He said the fact that he did it on his own without consulting the bezdin of the community, they felt was not appropriate. And you see, and then Rabbi Yisrael Salanter had something about the problem with the Gittin, and it was a whole thing. But it's interesting that not all the Rabbanim accepted. In fact, the Bezdin summoned him and said it was not appropriate to do such a thing without getting official permission. And you have to realize that Rabbi Yisrael Salanter was not talking about sick people. He was talking to people that were totally healthy. Totally healthy. And based on the Magen Avraham, that he was afraid that the healthy people, if they would fast, would be more susceptible to the pandemic, and then that would cause them to be sick. And that could be a sakana. And that was and in the Rashi's Bikurim, that's in the next paragraph, Lamed Aleph, That's Rabbi Tzal HaKohen of Vilna. So he says that he thinks that it's not proper. On page 3 on the bottom. On page packet Lamed Aleph. He says that the pandemic was on Tovkuf Tzari Beis, Tovresh Tes, Tovresh Chav Zayin, and people fasted and it was fine. Now again, that doesn't mean that even Rabbi Yisrael Salanter would say, you know, you can't just say, oh, I'm not fasting on Yom Kippur, because Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, you know, again, every situation is different, every part of the pandemic could be different, and every country and every locale could be different. So we're not at all telling you to not to fast on Yom Kippur without, you know, speaking to a competent Rav who knows your situation, but it just historically, it was a fascinating episode that took place. And I'll tell you, but I think, you know, a good tshuva to look at. So again, we showed you all these Rabbi Kiv Eggers about, you know, the Kaddish, about the lottery, and the Chasam Sofer about his yeshiva, and the Rav Salanter and Mount Reagan Kiddush. But I want to show you something else, which maybe should... A tshuva from the Chasam Sofer on page 29, going over to page 30 in packet Lamed. He says, Yikraso higiyane yom erev Shabbos Kodesh ha'over nidon mash'ira b'kilosoy v'chodesh kislev. You know, he's writing, you know, the tshuvas of the Chasam Sofer and the Noda B'Yehuda are written all to the great Rabbanim of its time. In other words, no one was like the Rabbi Kiv Eger or like the Noda B'Yehuda Chasam Sofer. But the Shoyal in the Chasam Sofer or in the Noda B'Yehuda or Rabbi Kiv Eger were big Chasheva Rabbanim on their own right. So what was the Shaila? It was the time of the Magefa. And it was Chodesh Kislev, Tov Kuf Tzadi Aleph. And people wanted to be Mechadish the Levana. And the Levana, it was cloudy. Night after night, cloudy, cloudy, cloudy. And even one night, it was for a second it was revealed, and then it got cloudy again. And people were very upset because they felt this was a bad siman. The Chas v'Sholom in a time of a pandemic, and we can't even mechadish the levana. That's a bad siman. The Yankin itzaru ha. He says that it's not good for people to be sad at this time. In other words, it can make you more susceptible to Chas v'Sholom getting, from the pandemic. So Chasam Sofer, this Rav was dealt with a shaila that the people are, you know, it's coming the last night and they didn't mechadish levana and it's a pandemic and everyone's depressed. And what do? So if you look in the Luach, it'll say that's the last night. That's the last night for Kiddush Levana. Finished. So that's pretty depressing. It's pretty depressing. That's the last night for Kiddush Levana, and, you know, and we didn't do it. So the Rav of the community that's asking the Chasam Sofer his opinion on how he paskin, he says there's one shita that says you get another night. Even past the... and this Rav Paskind, that they can do it the next night, even though most shitas hold it's too late. But there is a shita that says on the night going into Tezayin, you could mechadish the levana. And sure enough, that night was a very clear night. Chedei Belel Tezayin, bohir hayah b'ashchokim, uberchu kameh meos, several hundred people made Kiddush Levana. The Simchu Simcha Gedola. And they relied on the pinyon that said that you have that extra night. It's Rabbi Yehuda Peretz, the Meiri. And that's what happened. That's what happened. So this Rav thought we should cheer the people up and let them do Kiddush Levana. Obviously, if there would be no shita to say that you can do it, then it wouldn't be appropriate to tell people to do it. So, and Rabbi Kiva and the Chasam Sofer also said that you have a little bit extra time. He says, into a certain amount of time, he makes a cheshbon that they could do it a little bit later. So you get 6 hours into the 16th day. He says, the feeling is daily lishmach al zafilu chatkilu b'shasavka. You know, I tell you a story. I was sitting shiva for my father before Pesach on Vav. My father, Hareini Kaparis Mishkava, was niftar on Vav Nisan. And you know, when I was sitting shiva, I wasn't thinking about Kiddush Levana. It was totally not on my mind. And then, one day, I was in the kitchen, I was doing something in the kitchen. I look out the window, and sure enough, there's a beautiful Levana. And I said, you know what? I was never Mechadish Levana this month. But it was the night of Bedikas Chametz. So I said, you know what? I should be Boidik the Chametz first, and then I'll go and Mechadish the Levana. So I finished Bedikas Chametz, I go out to Mechadish the Levana, and sure enough, there's no Levana. And I felt bad, you know. Obviously, that month for me wasn't a happy month, you know, and I felt very bad. So I discussed with Yisrael David Harfenis, Shlita. Because there is a discussion in the poskim. If a person is supposed to make a bracha, but it's not sure if he's allowed to make the bracha or not. So usually it's a suffix bracha, so you can't make the bracha. But there's a concept that some poskim hold. Rav David Feinstein has told me about this, and Rabbi Soska has it, that you can open up the Gemara and read the bracha from the Gemara as if you're learning. Like the Gemara would say, "Kiddush Levana Mevarech," and so it's like you're reading it as ki'ilu you're learning. So it wouldn't be a bracha levatola if you really aren't chayiv, but you could say the Shem Hashem because you're reading it in the context of reading the Gemara. And as Rav Harfenis said to me, you know what? Take the Rambam, take out a Rambam, read the halacha from the Rambam, and that's what you'll do. So it was the first night of Pesach, and I went with my Rambam out in the street, and I was looking for the Levana. Sure enough, I couldn't find the Levana. Because, you see, this halacha, you can read it from the Rambam, the Gemara, you won't say that forever. It was like the one night more, like Rabbi Shalom said, Rabbi David Feinstein, one night more. With anyway, like we saw in the Chasam Sofer, there's a shita that you could do it anyway. So even though that's not the mainstream shita, but if you're doing it, make it a context of learning, it makes it even better. So I felt bad. It was right before the Pesach Seder, and I I wanted a mechadish to Levana and wasn't there, even with my Rambam. So then I knocked on my neighbor's door. We live in an apartment building, and I was discussing shmuzi, and sure enough, my son comes down. He says, "Abba, the Levana is there. The Levana is there." So we went out with the Rambam and we mechadish to Levana. So I said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a deal with me. He didn't want me to give me a full Kiddush Levana, because Kiddush Levana is supposed to be when you're happy, and it wasn't a happy time for me. But on the other hand, he saw I wanted to do it, so he gave me a quasi Kiddush Levana. And then when I got to this tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, how they did Kiddush Levana the day late in time of the pandemic, was this Rav wanted to make sure that the people were happy. He wouldn't have done it if there wouldn't have been a shita that you could do it. But even though it wasn't the mainstream shita, he wanted to make the community give them chizuk. Give them chizuk, and that's what happened. So we discussed here some fascinating tshuvas and fascinating things that happened by the Gedolim of Rabbi Kiva Eger, the Chasam Sofer, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, and about in terms of davening, in terms of saying Kaddish, in terms of fasting on Yom Kippur. And again, you can't, every time a person has a Shaila, he has to see how, you know, it is in his time. You know, you can't compare one pandemic to another pandemic, and one part of the pandemic to another pandemic. That's why you have to, you know, ask the your Rav or whatever to discuss what the proper thing is. But you see how the poskim dealt with these different shilas. This goes back, you know, so many, you know, and that pandemic went on for a long time. It came hopefully resurging and coming back and resurging, and hopefully we shouldn't have such a situation in the future. If you want to look more on page in the packet 31, Lamed Aleph, page 19, there's an article in the Kovetz Rapo Yirape. That's a medical school. Albert Einstein Medical School puts out a journal of medical shilas and things like that. So Arya Tab, the rabbi who ate on Yom Kippur, Israel Salanter and the cholera epidemic of 1848. And that was the famous thing of Israel Salanter getting up in shul and telling the people to eat on Yom Kippur. Again, and he wasn't telling people who were sick. He was telling people, healthy people, who he was afraid who would become sick as a result of the of fasting. But again, that doesn't mean that it applies in our situation now, and it doesn't mean that he would say that now. You know, so again, you know, you have to, if anyone has a shaila, you have to speak to the Rav of your community in your time. Okay, Rabosa, I'd like to thank, again, and also like to thank Rabbi Siegel, who was, you know, who's usually my host of, you know, when I come to Long Beach, and I yearn for the day that I could have my Rebbetzin Siegel to come back to Long Beach for a Shabbos. Unfortunately, as we said, it's a tremendous loss for the community of the missing of the Murad Asra. We wish the Rebbetzin well, but I'm sure the Murad Asra would be the first one to want the community to thrive and continue with gusto and simcha and happiness for the whole community in the future. And Be'ez Hashem, next week, let me give you a little preview of what I want to talk about. Dr. Diamond said I should speak about El Rosh Hashanah, but I want to tie it in with a halacha that came up a lot during this time. And that was how to put a minyan together. And then we'll tie it into Rosh Hashanah and Elul and that. In other words, you had a lot of outdoor minyanim where people were spread out. Sometimes people were on balconies. Sometimes people were on porches.
Rabbi Simon.
Yeah.
You're somehow you got muted. I don't know what happened.
Who, I got muted?
Yes.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
Sorry.
Okay, so let me get someone to unmute me. One second.
Thank you.
Hello? I got muted. Did you unmute me? Get over the chair. Okay, ask the other one. Ask the other one.
The host is not allowing participants to unmute.
Okay.
Well, the host is not allowing participants.
Okay. Yeah?
No, Abba, we don't hear you.
No? You hear me?
No, Abba, they don't.
So I think you're still muted.
What?
They have to unmute us.
It looks like you're still muted.
You have to unmute me? No, they don't hear you if you say that.
But you have to unmute yourself.
You have to unmute yourself.
You just click on the microphone. Can you unmute it?
Yeah?
What? No.
Is it working?
The host doesn't allow. Yeah, they don't hear you.
Give me a phone.
Try it again.
Hi, it says the host doesn't allow to unmute.
Try it now.
Yeah, it works.
Okay, you hear me?
All right.
Okay, so next week I'd like to discuss, besides Rosh Hashanah and Elul, about what creates a minyan. Because if you have different people in different locations, one in the balcony, one of her, and could they connect, become, even if they're not in the same place? Or do you have to have the 10 people in the same place? What makes a minyan? And then that's going to be relevant for Rosh Hashanah and Elul, etc. Say you have some people are outdoors, some people are indoors, some people are on the balcony, some people are this. Does that make a minyan together, or they have to be in one room, or one? What creates that community of the minyan, and then we'll tie it into Elul and Rosh Hashanah, Bezras Hashem. Okay, thank you all for coming. And I appreciate it, and we should all have all the negativity of this year should be in the past. And Bez Hashem, as we approach Elul and Rosh Hashanah, we should have Yeshuas v'Nechamos for the whole community, in Pesikvik and at large. And we should people should have all the brachas, the positive brachas, should be mekuyim for the year to come. This is Hashem.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi Simon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
If anyone has any questions.